It's like, oh man, we're not that far off from like 100, but we're still 20 weeks away.
20 weeks away.
20 weeks away.
Yeah. That's a lot. It's like 5 months.
It is like 5 months. Coincidentally, that will land us right at Alice's due date.
What? So your child could be born on the 100th episode of The Pop?
Live? Probably not live.
Probably not live. Yeah, probably no. Live. No, yeah. But the show's not even live to begin with.
So. Is that, yeah, exactly. Yeah. What's poppin', everybody? Hello and welcome to Popcorn Culture. My name is Ben Carlin and I am your host. Here with me today is my brother Jay, who will be in every episode.
Happy to be co-hosting the pop with you this week, Ben. How are you today?
I'm doing swell. Oh, I'm good. Doing swell. Most especially because you have a very interesting note in our show notes for today's episode.
Yeah.
That I must ask you about.
Just right away.
Right away.
I was like, forego all other traditions.
It's really funny because like when we're putting together the show notes for like what we want to talk about each week, we have, it's very loosey goosey and half the time we don't hit half the stuff on the list, but you and I are both contributing to the same document.
Yeah.
And yet it's like, we're not doing it collaboratively.
Not so, really at all. No.
So you're actively putting like information into the doc that I haven't talked to you about yet. So I don't know anything about it. So I saw this one as we were getting ready.
Yeah.
Which is something to do with the oddly intimate relationship that you have with your toilet. Well,
this one,
I feel like I just put you in the receiving end of this, like you, Jay Carlin.
Not the intimate relationship that I, Jay Carlin, have with my toilet. The you in here is the royal you. You sitting that we all have, the weird relationship you have with any toilet. Because toilets are almost definition. I mean, probably, I'm not going to speak for everyone, but probably the object your bare bottom touches the most. You know what I mean?
Astute observation.
Right. So whatever. So it's so funny the way you were bringing this up, like we contributed to the document, because sometimes I'll think of stuff and I'll be like, I need to make sure I put that in my popcorn culture notes right now. And this morning I was like, oh, I feel like I had a thought. What was it? It was really important. And I finally remembered it. And it wasn't super important, but it was this. But this is how my brain was framing. It was like, got to make sure I remember to put in the show notes, what toilet have you used the most in your life? So let me ask you, Ben, what toilet do you think you have used the most in your life?
The most?
Yeah.
I mean, it would have to be, I've only lived, where I have lived the longest.
You think that has to be the answer, right? It seems like time trumps all things in this thing.
It would feel that way. So, okay, let me go through the keynote toilets of my life.
Right, as it were.
So from ages 0 to 11 years old, we lived in a place called Rocky Mount, Virginia.
Right.
And in that house, we had two toilets.
Two.
And one of them was in the bathroom that had this like hideous burnt orange carpet.
Yeah, I don't know who in history decided that carpeted bathrooms should be a thing. They should not.
Absolutely not. But no. I will say that these folks, whoever, and it wasn't our parents.
They moved inherited in. The house.
They eventually did renovate.
Yeah, they did. They tiled the floor.
And it was like, whoa.
Way better.
Really cool. And they turned our clawfoot tub into a shower.
Yeah. Which,
like, when I saw that happen, my mind was blown.
Blowing.
I did not even think that was possible.
Until that point, there was just the tub upstairs and the shower. If you wanted to shower, this was the weirdest thing. Because there was no shower on the upper level of that house.
Yes.
So if you wanted to shower, which both of our parents did, it meant you had to take the shower downstairs and then to go get dressed, then exit the shower, walk past the front door, walk through the kitchen, up the stairs, down the hallway, and to the bedrooms.
I bet it was 250 steps.
I mean, it was a lot of steps. And it's one of those things that because we grew up with it, it just felt completely normal. Like you had no sense of it. But I cannot imagine if it was like every day I basically had to go shower in the basement or something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And that's exactly it. It's like if you were touring a home and you were sort of like, okay, where's...
Yeah.
Like, because, I mean, and people say this. This is not like, you know, this is not not me being smart. This is just true. But like kitchens and bathrooms sell houses.
Oh yeah.
And so like it's what, and it kind of fits into your whole question today. Very like in a very real way, like everybody understands why kitchens are important. Like,
yeah.
like it's a very open thing. Even at parties, very frequently people will congregate
yeah.
in the kitchen.
Natural gathering location.
It is. It absolutely is. And it might be like the area of your house that you can even like most show off. Because there are like so specifically things that are like widely accepted, like to do.
Right. You just like, you're probably near the food and you're near the drinks and a table to sit at.
Right.
Probably.
Yes. But also like some of the other most significant purchases you have that you use every single day are like your appliances,
which yeah.
like, you know, they can speak to your character. Some appliances are like sports cars.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, wow.
Whoa. Look at this.
Cool. Anyway, the point is though, I can't imagine anybody touring our house from ages 0 to 11 and seeing the shower. Mom and Dad, I'm actually talking to you right now, just so you know, seeing the shower was like so far away from everything.
Maybe they just were like, we'll just take baths.
Maybe
they were maybe pre-children, our parents were bath people.
Bath people, yeah. exclusively. Like for cleanliness, not for relaxation.
Yeah.
Which is another departure mm-hmm. that like is like when you're a kid, you take baths exclusively. Like, you know, I bet you don't give Luke a shower.
Well, I don't because it's a lot. I think the reason is because that would involve getting in the shower or else leaning into the shower. There's no way in which the person doing the washing, is not getting wet if the shower's on.
Right.
But in a bath, I can reach my arms down into the bath, no problem. The rest of you can stay dry.
Right. Well, yeah. I feel like it took me too long in life to come to the conclusion that baths are more meant for relaxation. But like now when I think about like taking a bath as like a mechanism to become clean,
yeah.
it feels counterproductive.
I don't know. I don't know.
You be down with a...
I would be down. As it were, the bathroom in my house or like that's attached to my bedroom does not have a tub. So I am forced to shower.
Okay.
As it were. But if I go to like a hotel or something... Bath. Yeah.
Because
like another reason not to bath is because it just uses way more water. I think. I don't know.
It's hard to say.
Hard to say because the water when you shower, you don't plug the tub. Who's to say? Maybe you go through like 3 bathtubs worth or something, depending on the shower.
My guess, I think in a typical shower, I'm gonna take a shot in the dark because yeah. that's what we do here. I think you would use about 45 gallons of water for like an average 12-minute shower.
I would bet you like if you stoppered the tub, if you had like a shower situation where it can also be a tub and you stopper it just for the time it takes you to take a shower, I bet you'd get up to like ankles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Shower socks is how I like to call it.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Every once in a while when like the drain gets like clogged, I call it, we got shower socks.
Gotcha.
We got to solve the shower socks, which is the most disgusting household thing ever. If you've never had to like clean the shower drain, it
disgusting.
Is disgusting. I can't even talk about it. It's like making me feel like,
yeah, I can feel it.
Yeah.
I can feel it.
I can smell it even. Ugh. Okay. Anyway, moving on. So to toilets, because that's where you go from bad smelling things. Okay. So I'm trying to think here because when do you typically get potty trained? Like Luke is in the process of being potty trained. So like
he's good. He's got it.
He's good. Okay. So in he's age 3 and a half.
Yeah. Okay. So it was like, but yeah, like around 3.
Okay. So that would mean let's assume that I am as accomplished as Luke.
Right.
That would mean that between
unlikely,
but it is. Yeah. I get it entirely. that kid's going places.
No doubt.
That would mean that I would have 8 years of toileting.
Right.
In our Rocky Mount house. Okay. So that
long
feels,
stretch of time.
Long stretch of time. Now, indeed.
Because our parents have lived in their current house since 2001,
yes.
but we have not lived there the entire time.
Precisely. So exactly. I would have, and it's interesting because we're talking like razor thin margins here.
Especially for you, because I have like a year and a half on you at the Rocky Mount house.
You do. Yeah. So you had even more time.
I had more potty time there. Yeah.
Right. and so, okay. So that would mean though that at mom and dad's house from 2001 to 2008, when I graduated from high school and went to college.
Oh yeah. You got like 7 straight years there. It's very close.
It's 7 straight years.
Yeah.
And what I would say is,
however, maybe more toilets,
but yeah. I would still say that I used the the bathroom that was allocated to me, you, and our younger brother Tyler,
yeah,
the most.
Okay.
Like I would have to imagine that would be like the hot seat,
yeah,
as it were.
Everyone's like, why are they talking about this?
Signing off. I'm not doing it.
Let us know what toilet you think you've used the most.
Right. So anyway, that would put me at 7 years. I'd be older at this point. Mm-hmm. I think that that would have to be it, because once you get past there, like even my current home that I have purchased, I bought in 2016, I'm only at like 5 years
right.
of occupancy.
Right.
And
besides that, you still would have come, even though you weren't living at mom and dad's house full time, you still would have come back during summers.
True.
And you still visit there today.
To this day.
So every now and then you're still tacking numbers onto those toilets.
The stats have gotten like slower.
They're slower, but it's still trending up.
Just minuscule little steps.
Right. Like okay. Rocky Mount House, that's been a plateau forever.
Forever.
You know, that one's that's a stagnant number.
Right. Except for that one time in 2003. No, I'm just kidding. That didn't happen.
That'd be so weird. I broke in. I had to go.
Can't do it. But okay, so that I would say that would be the one. I can picture everything.
You can picture it all. That's the one.
The one.
The upstairs toilet at mom and dad's present house.
It was adjacent to your bedroom.
Adjacent to my bedroom.
Yes.
Yeah.
It shared correct. A wall.
Okay. I am in a different boat, I think, because the Rocky Mountain house, I would have been there from like, I would have had like solid 10 years of potty trained time.
Wow.
At that house.
Impressive.
I know. But again, it's the two toilets. And while it sounds impressive, let me throw this curveball at you. I have the same otherwise issue at mom and dad's house, where from 2001 to 2006, I would have been there for like high school, middle school years.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
No problem. Yep. That's yep. plenty. And then, you know, summers, sometime after college.
I'm tracking all these stats.
You got that. College, those toilets, nothing. You have no, you basically, nothing they're it. Nothing. You know, you had the dorm room. No, that's, you know, you're although, there for 1 year.
Not for a lack of the college cafeteria's, whatever is in it, is best efforts.
Yeah. To make you go, yeah.
To achieve top toilet status for right. 1 year.
Yeah. But I, of course, across 4 years in college, I lived in three different locations. So that's hardly any time to accumulate any real stats.
I get you. I get you.
You know what yeah, I mean?
Yep.
And then you and I lived together for a while.
We did indeed.
And that realistically, that place only had one. So that.
Well, it eventually had two.
It eventually had two, but the, you know. The downstairs one was not like a heavily, that was like an emergency situation. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
It was a really odd situation where the lady who owned the house, like she understood the need for two bathrooms. So there was like an unfinished half of the basement where the other half was literally where we started the Super Carlin Brothers YouTube channel.
Yeah.
But so it was this like complete like piece of like raw basement, you know, just like exposed.
Was there a freestanding toilet just sort of in the middle of the room? I think there was. There was. You could potentially go in there and like really, you could sort of sit just in the middle of a big room with okay. a toilet in it.
If you want to talk emergency toilets.
Yeah, emergency toilet. That was the one.
That was the emergency
toilet. That was the emergency toilet.
Oh man. Yeah. Okay. That's a fair point. I completely forgot about that. Like
yeah.
that was joy inside of my brain was yeah. holding the sphere that was in the process of dissolving.
Right.
You know, I'm going real. Roll inside out on this analogy, but yeah, it almost escaped. Maybe even one more day, I wouldn't have remembered it entirely.
I see.
Yeah. So well, anyway, okay. I understand though. Continue.
So there you go. So then there was that house, but here's the one I think might be in contention that you might not have expected. And that is the toilet at the concert venue I used to work at. Bingo. Because this was, the reason I think this one might be in contention was because the Rocky Mountain house had two toilets, but I was there for 10 years.
Right. Okay.
This
so
one
split time. So split time,
but
years.
This is 5 years, basically all down to one toilet.
Oh,
same one. And I was there for like 8 hours a day, minimum, if not more, plus a lot of weekends and stuff
during prime time.
Yeah.
You know,
and on top of that, this was a job that I was largely stressed at and, would like drink a lot of water to waste time going to the bathroom.
I think
I made a whole video about it for year one.
Did you? Okay. You made that video while you were still working there?
Yeah, oh yeah.
And you got away with it?
Absolutely.
Goodness gracious.
See, this was part of the great, like, how am I trying to phrase this? This was one of those things where even though it was like an all-consuming project to me to do this YouTube thing and you spend like all day, every day with the people you work with
right.
in this building, I still felt safe making, it's like there was no doubt in my mind that not a single person would catch wind that I had made this because of how non-tuned in they were.
Sure.
Which was also like then reinforcing the like, no one like, how like non- the very limited relationship you had with those people.
Yep.
It's like, yeah, we're all amicable and we hang out at work and we can talk and stuff, but like you don't really care, because if you did, you know I was complaining about work publicly, loudly.
Right. Yes.
Yeah.
And it's so funny too. Yeah. Because I think that on the flip end of this, I think in year one, it may be the only video on our entire channel that has been like removed. Do you remember this?
One
of my videos very early on. I had like a client at the time who was just, I would say, left long-winded voicemail messages.
Yeah.
And I mean, to the tune of like, it was almost like writing somebody like an incredibly long email.
Mm-hmm.
But the way that she would do it was she would like call and my phone would cut off at 2 minutes and 53 seconds of complete. So it'd be 2 minutes and 53 seconds and then just call again and continue the message. And so like,
it's like, doesn't take any social cue from the, like, here's the suggested length of a voicemail.
And even at that point, I mean, that's a, like, 2 minutes and 53 seconds is that's a lengthy voicemail for like, you know, something that could just be, I mean, I don't know, to each his own, of course.
Right.
You know, on how long you want them to be. But usually my fear is that people will stop listening if I'm not real snappy with it.
Yeah. Normally it's just that whatever you need to say probably needs a certain amount of discussion. It's more like, voicemail is more like to let you know they've called, unless it's like something extremely serious, which I also would occasionally get a voicemail from this person. And they would repeat themselves like 10 times and then start again.
Yes. Yeah. And so, yeah, I think, the flip end of this though, was that it was like a video that I made and, you know, same capacity. I felt like, you know, this, chances are it's not going to like orbit out of here, especially mm-hmm. because like our audience at the time was, you know, quite small and we were getting, I don't know, like 17 to 32 views per video or something. Like it wasn't a lot.
Wasn't a ton of views. Yeah.
But I remember Dad watched it and he was like, you cannot have that out there because if she sees it, mm-hmm. like you will have just made fun of somebody. Which even now, like, that feels like the thought of like making fun of somebody feel like it hurts me to think that like that is maybe like what I did.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, that's like one of those things you like look back on. It's like, man, that was not cool.
Not your best move.
No. Not like not your best moment. So, in hindsight, you know, would never do that again because that would have been mean. But anyway, so that video never,
it's gone.
You can't see it.
Yeah.
Anyway. But so, where were we going with this? Your work, your hot seat.
Yeah.
Do you think it's the one?
I don't know. It either has to be that one or it has to be the Rocky Mountain house, I think.
Okay.
But then I don't know because like the mom and dad's present house, I was there for a long time too. And there was like a year after college where I like was still living at home but had a full-time job.
But there were also four toilets in that house.
That's true. You could spread them out.
Right. Yeah.
You know, like so there was like, definitely one that has the most, but every now, of course, splitting it up.
Diversity.
Exactly. So I don't know. It could be the one at my old job.
Interesting.
That might be the one. Because since then, we've had a bunch of different offices.
It's very true. Very true. Yeah.
So.
It's a true underdog story when it comes down to it.
Right?
You know, it's like, I would have absolutely expected somewhere where you lived.
Right.
Not for a split second would it have been.
Somewhere where you worked.
Yeah.
Right.
It's like it's probably a toilet I've never even seen myself before.
You've probably never seen it.
And it's like, it's your hot seat.
It could be.
Man. Fascinating.
Fascinating.
This is like really funny thing though. I feel like, I remember, I have certainly told the story once upon a time, but I remember getting to college this is something like nobody discussed, like it was like going to the bathroom, which is like the most ridiculous thing ever because every single person does it. And
yeah.
It's like, I don't understand like why, I mean, I don't know. I would still be private about it. Like it's not the type of thing that I would be like wildly, I wouldn't talk about it like on a podcast, you know, or anything like that.
Tell me more.
I know. But I remember like, it's like a threshold where if you break the seal, like with friends, you would never expect to talk about this with, it's almost like it becomes the funniest thing ever. It's like you become a small child again because I remember the conversation. It wasn't until I got to college that I had it where people were talking about the different ways that they folded toilet paper.
Boy, you're opening a real basket here. Okay.
I know. Well, I mean, it's cause there's team fold and team wad.
Yeah.
You know? And mm-hmm. It never even occurred to me that there were options. Like,
I agree.
You know, and this was, I couldn't believe it. I mean, like, I remember like hysterically laughing for possibly like a half hour when somebody first told me this. Like, I thought it was the most ludicrous thing imaginable.
Because they did it differently than you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I will not reveal.
Which you're not going to reveal which side of the toilet paper you're on. Which side of the ply.
I'm per se which side of the ply. Yeah, that's it. That could be a podcast entirely right there. Oh, man. No, I'm a big fan of the origami crane.
That seems like actively destructive. That seems like antagonistic and angry.
A crane?
Yeah, to like origami something.
It's true.
And then,
it's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point. Anyway, we should probably move on.
Maybe.
We've maybe spent too much time on this.
Maybe we have. But that's the question that was... So Ben, not for nothing, but why am I suddenly wearing different clothes?
Well, let me ask you.
Yeah.
Are you surprised?
Oh, no.
The element of surprise!
The element of surprise!
It's time.
It's time. Oh my gosh, what do you have for us?
I'm very excited. We've been teasing it for what feels like months now, but we, the Patreon's exclusive quarterly merchandise.
Yes.
Months ago, we announced that we had a prototype.
We have been talking about the prototype. Do you have the prototype?
I have it.
I have the prototype.
Look at this right here. I haven't even opened it myself yet.
Even you are subject to the element of surprise.
I am.
Wow.
Of course, I know what it is.
Okay. I also know what it is, but I don't know what it looks like.
But we haven't seen it yet.
We haven't seen it.
Okay. So in case you guys are interested or curious, basically we have our $25 Patreon tier, which is the buzziest B or jazziest J or neitherest neither tier.
Mm-hmm.
And
most people like to think of it as just the jazziest J tier,
well,
I think.
Well,
mostly.
Open to debate.
You know.
With this particular tier, you get access to an exclusive piece of popcorn culture merch that we will be, Jay and I are like very creatively and excitedly coming up with.
Right. So you had the first,
Yes.
The first ever exclusive item was Fred the One True Cup.
Fred the One True Cup, which was like a Yeti mug with like laser engraved popcorn culture logo.
Right.
So you can be just like me and live that one cup life. So this is the Q2, which will actually end at the end of June.
Okay.
The announcement, the moment.
Let's see it.
All right. Oh man. Okay.
The anticipation.
I've been so eager and excited about this, and it's like been the type of thing where I've actually been following up, being like, "Hi, has it shipped yet?
Yeah,
I want to see it." Okay. Okay. Here we go. Are you excited?
I'm very excited.
All right. We're doing it. Okay. Okay.
Oh.
Let's set that aside. Okay. Okay. Here it is.
Here we go.
Look at this.
It's coming out. Oh my gosh! It's the One True Host trophy! The plush!
Oh my gosh. It turned out so great.
It looks so good.
I am actually here. Would you like to hold it?
Absolutely. Oh my gosh. So if you're only listening, what I am now holding in my hand is a plush toy, like a stuffed animal, but it's not an animal. It's a trophy that says the One True Host, like the one that sits next to Ben on his side. Now I'm gonna put this here, so right that boom. Oh, that just looks better if you
it
ask
is,
me.
It
you
is,
know, you might have the real One True Host trophy, Ben, but I have the One True Plush trophy.
The One True, and now if as a member of the exclusive Popcorn Culture merch tier over on Patreon, you too can be a One True Host and have authentic evidence by way of a One True Host trophy plush.
Oh my gosh. I love it. So it came out so much better than I could have expected. Oh, it's so soft. Look how they did the popcorn.
The popcorn is my favorite part. It's like fuzzy, fluffy, like cozy teddy bear fur.
It is really soft too. Like, man, they really have such great detail on it. Oh man, it has been a long wait, but it has been worth the wait. And man, okay, so yeah, again, if you are interested in getting a One True Host popcorn plush, you can head over to patreon.com/popcornculture, and it is the jazziest J or buzziest B tier.
Definitely go over and check it out.
As
excited as I was, I am actually very surprised and blown away at the quality of it. We sent them photos of our
our trophy.
Yeah.
And they had sent us like some like mock-ups back, but this is better than what
we had some thoughts about it, and they made really good adjustments.
Yes, very impressed. So again, if you want to check it out, patreon.com/popcornculture. Thank you guys.
It's fascinating to me that I could be 30 and the toilet I've sat on the most might be one I haven't visited in over like 20 years. Isn't that weird?
It is weird.
Right?
What a weird title for it to hold.
Exactly.
These are the things, like, you know, if there is, I'm going to, you know, get like maybe semi deep real quick. If there is like some kind of like afterlife or something, you know,
this data better be available.
Yes. It has to be. It's like what I want more than anything is full access to the stats of my life. Mm. Like just everything. Like anything you could possibly think of to like ask it. It's like, no, we got that.
Yeah, we got it.
Yeah, we'll pull it right up.
Yeah.
You know, like, and it's like, there even it has like objective conclusions too. It's like, these are the number of arguments where you were right.
Ah.
You know?
Oh,
or,
boy,
or something like that.
That's interesting.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it was like, who determines what's right?
Oh, I don't know.
Who's the arbiter of right?
Right. It's a highly debated thing.
Not there.
No, they know. But like, I don't know. It's so frequent. Like, I feel like there have been times in my life where I will be having a conversation with somebody and it's like, you know, we're in this like back and forth, and I will like know in my heart of hearts differently. And it's just like, okay, like it's not worth the back and forth in order to like get here. Like I'm fine. That is like, I think somewhere along the way, like the idea of agreeing to disagree quietly to myself has become like one of the most useful tactics ever.
Right. Well, here's the thing. Just because you stop arguing doesn't necessarily mean the other person wins the argument.
Sure.
You know, or it doesn't mean that you agree with them. And I think you're right. It's very helpful to just recognize that, like, if I just stop talking and walk away from this argument, that's going to be better.
Yes. Well, and this is the thing too, is I think very frequently it's like, you might not find yourself to be particularly passionate about a topic, but it's like, if you were to suggest something and then somebody contests the detail that you suggested, all of a sudden, you know what? I stand a little bit firmer by my original idea.
Right.
This actually happened in our office last week where we were talking about Loki.
Oh yeah.
And we were going back and forth and I was like, oh man, I have like a thought about Loki. And like, I remember like running, you know, I ran outside and I was like drawing pictures on like, you know, the scrap piece of paper I could find. And it was like one of these things where the idea had lived in my head for like 48 seconds.
Right.
You know, like it had not even been a full minute yet. And it was like, I need to get it written.
Right.
And out and explained.
Yeah.
And so it's not like I had this idea and I had sat with it and like, you know, like I worked on it and like, it was perfect and like crystallized or anything like that, you know? Or even something I can be like that emotionally like on about. And I remember like taking it out and someone was like, no, I don't think that's how it works. And I was like, really? You know what? I think it is how it works.
Right.
How about that? Marker drop. I'm out. You know? Right. And it was like, I was like, why am I so like, Ben, you have not spent time with this idea.
Yeah.
Like, why are you upset? You know?
Deep breaths.
I know. Deep breaths. Yeah. Calm it down. It'll be okay. But what I thought was interesting about that was like, it was almost the entering into the discussion at times can be counterproductive in like on its own.
Right.
Because like what happened here was like, it would have been fine for me to just think about it on my own.
Right.
And be like, oh yeah, that'd be an interesting way for it to turn out. Right. And so instead of it being like that, we went in a completely different direction.
Right.
Which I think is interesting. And maybe could be a nice little segue into one of my notes that I have for today.
Oh, okay.
Which is conflict-free confrontation.
Mm, even those words seem in conflict with each other.
Don't they, though?
They do.
Don't they? Okay. Yeah. So we've told the tale once upon a time of the lady in my neighborhood who got upset with me while our dogs were, you know, relieving them. Man, this is a really good segue.
Wow. Yeah. You know, look at this.
I know. It's like, it's working in so many different capacities. Anyway, it was like, she had like made a comment to me and I was like, oh man, like, you know, I feel like really like burned by this. Like I would love to be able to just like discuss it and like, see if I can't like, you know, resolve it so that it's not just like this like unfinished business forever.
Yeah.
Which is another thing. Remind me about unfinished business. Cause I have another very interesting update on something.
Okay.
We'll see.
Okay.
Okay. So, Back me up, Ben. Go, brain. You got this. Okay. So, but I had the very unlikely opportunity where a couple days later, the lady was walking by and I was able to be like, hey there, like, can we like discuss this? Cause this thing happened. And, you know, I would just love to be able to get a better understanding, like where you were coming from and all the rest. And so for me, it was kind of like an odd thing where, it was a very intentional and proactive decision that like what I wanted to do is not have, unresolved resentment that I just have to like hold on to, mm-hmm. because like resentment definitely it fuels like a fire inside, like to your core, that is unproductive,
right?
It's not a good thing,
right?
And so one of the things that I've been trying to really highly identify is like when I'm holding resentment on something and then attempting to just like address it head on.
Yeah.
And so with this particular instance, what I'm curious about is almost like recognizing a problem with someone that I interact with and being like, okay, this is reached a point where it's like, I feel like I really need to like address it or talk about it or see if like there's like some back and forth to be had. Mm-hmm. But it's like, it was sparked by like minuscule conflict. I wouldn't even say that like it was even remotely hostile, just two different ends of something. And it felt like, you know, in the moment I was like, man, maybe I should like say something, like, you know, it's like, hey, this keeps happening and like, I don't want it to keep happening. Like, can we talk about this? Because like, I don't know like where the disconnect is or.
Yeah. Or, like, why do you seem to think this is appropriate?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Or are you mad at me?
Or is this something that like, that I have recognized that you're doing, but like, because I've never said anything to you about it, you have no idea,
right,
that like, that I have like maybe taken issue with it. Well, on my end of the spectrum, it's like, again, mm-hmm. you know, it's like, I know it because like, it's been inside of my brain. I hold resentment about it.
Right.
And so it's in my head, I was like, okay, like we're inside of like one of these moments right now. And it feels like the wrong time to bring it up now. It's like, you know, it feels like at that point in time you would get into like a kind of like a and this argument, mm-hmm. or and also this,
right?
You know, where it would sort of be like, you know, who can,
right? Like, you did that and you're trying to like one up each other with like slights you've had against one another for the last 10 years.
Exactly. Yeah. It's like let's go and get them. Where's my bag?
Right.
I'm gonna empty it right now. Mm-hmm. It's like, we're gonna find everything.
Yeah.
And that's the other problem with resentment as well, is that very frequently when conflict does arrive, it's almost like the door gets opened for all of it to walk through. And then it's almost like, okay, as long as we're arguing, I'm going to pull everything out. Mm-hmm. Which again, not very productive to resolving a potential issue, because you're just throwing a whole bunch of random stuff at somebody. So what my proposed thought was, or I want advice on, maybe from either you or the little kernels out okay. there, is, okay, so I've like addressed the problem, you know, I've recognized the problem. I'm like, okay, this is something that I feel like communication could fix. Like, I would like to tell this person like, hey, this is a thing that you do. And when you do this thing, it makes like, it makes it hard for this relationship, mm-hmm. you know, this friendship.
Yeah.
And so I would love to be able to like talk to you about it. And so it's like, if I were to wait like 2 weeks,
right,
and then be like, hey, me and you, let's go get a beer. And like, whilst out, or whilst, you know, in a neutral location, while the tone of things is also neutral, it'd be like, there's something I've been wanting to bring up with you, you know? And it's like, could it be an effective way to communicate and potentially resolve this conflict going into the future? Or is this the type of thing where somebody might just feel called out because with zero prompting whatsoever, because again, neutral,
right.
neutral location, neutral tone of the entire, you know, mood, environment and everything. Right. Or, you know,
because like, you're walking in with an agenda and they're walking in to have a beer.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And that's the thing. It's like, I don't know how to, like, when I was able to speak to the lady on the street, she just happened to walk by my house again. And I was like, opportunity has arisen. Like, I am unexpectedly now near you when it was entirely possible that I would just never see you again.
Right.
And so I just sort of like in the split second made the decision like, okay, I'm going to do this. I'm going to talk to the person and see if I can make it work. And so you're exactly right. It's the agenda that I think worries me. It's because like, I don't want it to be this type of thing where it's like, hey, let's go grab a beer, because that'll be like a fun thing friends do. And then you get out there and all of a sudden it's much more of like a, All my friends now who are listening are going to be like, if Ben asked me to go get a beer, what should I think?
Right. Assume the worst people.
Everybody.
It's probably you.
I got issues. No, I'm just kidding. But yeah, that's exactly it. I think it would be this idea that all of a sudden, once they realized like why I was communicating to them about this, they're like, this is why you asked me to do something. Like I thought this was us hanging out.
Mm-hmm.
What a fun thing that has now been turned into a not fun thing.
Right.
And so now I don't know what to do.
Well, let's see. I think number one, I think the waiting 2 weeks period is probably good advice, because right away you might find that 2 weeks later you just don't even care. You might not even remember.
It's true.
You know,
it's
like true. You've had time to cool off. Maybe whatever it was felt like a big deal, wasn't really. So that, I think, it's probably just good advice in general. Like, give yourself some time to cool down. Don't do anything. Don't make bad decisions while you're angry.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah. Of course, yeah. No, I understand that completely.
Okay.
And I do agree with that. I mean, that's something that I try to harness as much as possible in my daily, is recognizing those moments. And so, like, probably more than anything else, if I get, like, real quiet, it's probably what has happened is it's like, okay, like, I am now at a point where I know that there's nothing that I can say that is going to be productive.
Yeah.
It's like, so I'm going to just.
Cool. Yeah. My other thought is that even if you do have an agenda, using the phrase like, I have something I want to talk to you about, is probably not the way to like, that is going to make it feel like an accusation or something. I think the way I would try and approach it would be to like, ask questions around the situation, whatever it was,
okay,
until you can sort of be like, oh, is that what happened? Because, like, honestly, when you told me, I was feeling like really bad about myself, or like I felt like really guilty,
yeah,
or
yeah,
something.
Yeah.
And they'd be like, you know, try and like just don't like, I wouldn't head on it. Maybe other people would. I think I would like try and circle around it until I could like get to exactly what I wanted to say.
Well, and this is the thing, another issue, or by way of having like these types of communications with people that I've attempted to really get to the bottom of, is almost like and this is where I think it gets tricky, is because so many specific situations where you might have had conflict with somebody over, there are so many ridiculously circumstantial,
yeah,
pieces of it where it's like, oh man, like, you know, it was this like one aspect of this particular thing. It's like someone who's like chronically late for work, and every single day their cat had an emergency, or their, you know, like they caught, you know, they were caught at a traffic light or a flat tire or something. It's like they're every single day, like, do you have the worst luck ever? Like,
yeah,
every day something has happened to you.
Right.
It's like, what's like really happening?
At some point you need to leave the house earlier.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And this is where you can almost get into, like the question of, like if somebody has become chronically late in this particular capacity or something, and you know, you're like, man, come on, like you gotta be on time. It's like, I had a flat tire, man. Like, what do you expect me to do? Like, I had to change it, you know, it was raining. I was on the side of the road, you know. It's like, all of a sudden you could be like insensitive to like that day.
Right.
And I think that that's kind of at the like core of the thing for me, is it's kind of like, it's, you're right. Like, maybe today's problem was not the one that like, that I should have addressed. And I chose the wrong excuse to question.
Right.
When it ultimately came down to it. But at the core of it, it's the general consistent tardiness where it's like, okay, and it's like, how, like, that is what I want to address.
Right.
Is like at the middle of that. So, and I think that's why it gets harder with this particular instance, because it's like, if you were to say, like, if you were to like broach the subject on using the specifics of the most recent scenario,
mm-hmm,
it's like, then there is the openness for nuanced communication about that particular instance.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of times once you get into those types of moments, it's like you're in the weeds. It's like nothing productive is about that.
Right.
Happen.
Like, if you're talking just about like, yeah, if you're getting too granular with it.
Yes.
Yeah. You're like, you're not, yeah, if you're addressing this piece of sand, you're missing the whole beach.
Exactly. Yeah. Yes. And so that's the thing. It's like, how do you address like the real thing?
Right.
So frequently it's kind of an odd thing, because there's almost the argument of like, write down like a handful of instances and, you know, go and sit, you know, sit down with them. And what I think it will frequently turn into with that is taking each situation into a granular, mm-hmm, perspective and being like, we don't need to assess each one. You know, it's like,
right,
how do we look at it big picture?
And right.
So that's the kind of communication. So what it comes down to, and this is like the funny question that I've been able to come up with to possibly like relate to, is that I am someone in particular, and this is like such a Ben thing in particular, but when somebody is like, you have something in your nose, it's like, it's a comment that is intended to be helpful, but I am deeply embarrassed.
Right.
You know, and it's like, it's odd because what they have now done is identified like something that others could also recognize, and potentially maybe even did it in front of other people. And now it's like spotlight on your nose,
you know,
and you're like real self-conscious about it. But on the flip end of it, you know, it's like, it is helpful. It's like, no. Like I told you, and now you can like,
right. Cause if it's now, you now feel embarrassed because now you know, and because someone saw it.
Yes.
But the thing is, people probably already saw it and just didn't say anything. So you just didn't know to be embarrassed until now.
Right. Right. Exactly. And so with that, you know, if you were to apply it to a situation like this, where you're communicating something deeper about somebody, it's like the reaction they might have is embarrassed.
Yeah.
But it's also like, if there's no way to communicate it to them, then how could there be any expectation of
growth? Then they just still have something hanging out of their nose.
Exactly. Do you let them live with something hanging out of their nose?
Right. Yeah. I mean, I guess these are such weird situations, because one is like conflict resolution, one's like embarrassment or like humiliation. But I would think that it probably depends on the level of the relationship you have with the person.
Sure.
That like, if it's just like a friend who you see sometimes, then it's probably not worth getting into a whole thing. You know,
entirely
if reasonable. It's someone you are going to be forced to be around all the time, and it's you know, something you're dealing with day in, day out, then it maybe is. And in that case, though, it's probably a lot easier to be like, we got to talk about something.
That's a good point.
Because a lot of times when you have situations like that where you're forced to be each other, then it's like there's that like, it's like if I'm ever mad at you, there's never like any real danger in my mind that like if I confront Ben about something, he's going to just disown me from his life.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
There's like the underlying guarantee that like no matter what happens, you're still my brother.
Right.
And you know, like you're stuck with me. Ha.
Ha.
Deal with it.
I do every single day.
Yeah, that's right. You're welcome.
It's working out so far.
So far, yeah. Pretty good. So that's, I think... I don't know exactly what situation you're dealing with over there, but I think you, if it's like a really serious thing, then you probably can just sit down and have like a relatively calm conversation.
Right.
Without feelings being too hurt, I imagine.
Well, so it's the question I would want to extend to the little kernels out there as well. It's almost like the question of like, would you want to know if you have something in your nose? Like, and with the idea being here that that's actually an analogy for like, if you had a behavior that was like maybe potentially causing... That was
bothering lots of people.
Bothering or grating or you know, something like that. And it's like, if you didn't know to correct it, it's like, would you want to know? And how receptive would you be to hearing this particular bit of information?
This is tricky. And I would hope that people would want to be receptive, but it can be very difficult to be receptive.
It could be.
Because it feels like you're being personally attacked. But if you can learn to accept change and be like willing to be corrected and like, I think that is normally for the better, but people don't like being corrected.
I know.
That's the thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like, that's the thing. It's like so knee jerk to be like, you think you know better than me because you're talking about me.
Right. Yes. No, and it's. So that's where it's dicey. And it's that big question of, how willing are you to respond to potentially critical feedback?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's tough. It's super tough. Like I remember, you know, again, in the early days of Super Carlin Brothers, like they're one of the things that I was doing, like, so with editing, for example, like a vlog style video, like what we do,
right?
There is the jump cut, you know, and the jump cut is basically like, I have finished saying this sentence, we're going to the next sentence now. But I could not remember an entire script off the top of my head. So it's like, deliver, 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 deliver. Now over here, deliver, deliver, deliver.
Right.
You know, like you just kind of like continue your piece. Well, when I first started doing this, I had not consumed a whole lot of YouTube, didn't have a really good measure of it. And so I would never move my chair.
Right.
Yeah, so jump like cut, boom. So like as I was jumping cut, like if anything, what I was trying to do was make sure my head never moved. So it was like sit real still, try to like, you know, square your shoulders against like something across the room. So it's like, okay, like I got like my points. Like that way it's like maybe people won't notice the jump cut, which of course they did.
Yeah.
You know? And I remember somebody at one point in time finally being like, hey, it might be helpful if you moved back and forth so that like people are like, you know, a little bit more visually aware of like the change in sentence or you
right.
know, you know, whatever piece of the video that you're delivering. Mm-hmm. And again, you know, it's one of those things where it's like, I heard it and I was like, I was embarrassed for having done it the different way. And it was almost like I wanted to make the argument that this was like, this was an acceptable and good way to do things. You know, it was like, it was almost like why not moving during jump cuts is okay. Google search, hit enter.
Right.
What is the common retort for this bit of information? And it was like, I was just wrong. Yeah. You know,
that's the thing.
And it was wrong on a basis of it, for me in particular, just ignorance, you know, it was like, I just didn't know.
Yeah.
But then it was like, you know, being called out for not, and not even called out. This was legitimately somebody attempting to help
right.
and be productive.
Right.
And, but it was either way. So, and that's like, that's where my concern comes from is basically just like knowing how I have felt when approached with these particular things, while also then struggling with the question of, whether or not it's just my responsibility to like live with this.
Right. Well, so then that's the other situation, like, because you've been so far talking about like situations amongst people you are like either friends or like have like an ongoing relationship with, but with your like dog walker lady, like you're right. You were fortunate that she just sort of like walked past the house.
Yes.
And you were able to like re-confront her about the situation, but it's possible that that lady just yelled at you and then you never saw her again. And you just let that resentment build like forever.
Yes. Yeah.
And then what would you do? Cause you don't even have like an opportunity.
You don't have an opportunity to resolve it. I know. And it's, that is, we spoke, and this was the other thing I was talking about before. We spoke a few episodes back about the podcast called Heavyweights.
Yeah.
Which is basically like a, it is a podcast about people who maybe affected one another at one point in time, like in some manner, and it went unresolved right. for just swaths of time.
Right.
Like going forward and, you know, like you look back on it, you're like, there was a change in like my life's trajectory, like due to this person. And like, I've never been able to like communicate with them or know if it's like ultimately resolved. And while we were talking about that there, I was like, there is like a person out there that like exists in my world that, you know, it was like, that's like my unresolved problem. And
right.
it's like the one where it's like, I don't know how to go about it. Like if I were to be on the show, like, but that is the person who I would go and talk mm-hmm. to. I ran into them.
Did you?
I did.
Wow.
And it was like, and to say that I ran into them, what I actually mean is that I was having a beer with two of my friends.
Right.
And I was just sitting there, you know, chatting or whatever. And they walked over to us.
Really?
And just engaged in like a completely jovial conversation. Like, how are you? What are you been up to? Like,
right.
Entirely good things. And so it was crazy because like when I turned my head and saw who was talking to me, I was like my heart jumped into my throat.
Right,
you know, like, I was like,
oh,
I was
goodness.
Like, what is about to happen? Like, is this going to be, you know, like, I don't know what to expect.
Right. Like not only have I had resentful feelings towards you for the last several years, but that's the last I checked, you felt the same way about me.
You definitely had them back at me. Yeah. And so it was like, oh man, like, you know, how is this going to go? And it was really, really oddly freeing. And maybe this is why this has been on my mind.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was such a positive experience. And I was like, for years now, like a decade, more than a decade, mm-hmm. this has been like a concern of mine.
Yeah.
You know, and it was like, there was never an opportunity to like fix it. And like, I didn't know how to, and anything I had ever heard was always contrary to the opportunity that it was a fixable problem
situation. Yeah. Like when you heard through the grapevine,
like anything. Yeah. It sounded like things still not good.
Yeah.
So with this particular situation, I was kind of like, I can checkmark that. Like, maybe not check that. That sounds like it's more like an objective type of thing, but it was like, it felt like I could like take a weight off of myself and feel better about that.
Mm.
And so maybe now the determination is like, oh, it felt good to take that weight off.
Yeah.
I would like to take more weights off.
More
please.
Weights off. Yeah. I think this is, I don't know. Let me know how this strikes you in the situation where it was like, maybe, well, I think the solution in a lot of these situations is to like try and forgive the other person.
Okay.
For whatever it was, like whatever the long standing was, you know, whatever slight they had against you, that you're like begrudging against them.
Yes.
Is to try and just like find a way to forgive them in some way. And the way I like to think about it is that like if you, like we've talked about grudges before, how sometimes it's like, if like you drank the poison and you're hoping they die. Like that's what it's like holding a grudge. Like
yes.
The other person might not even be aware. You know, that lady yelled at you one day, you're stewing for years.
Yes.
Potentially. And she's just like, whatever. I couldn't even recognize that person again.
Right. Yeah.
I just, like, that person just received my anger and now it's growing inside them.
Right. Right. Yeah. Yes.
So that's no good. But it's like here, I think the power of forgiveness is like, think about like, who, think right now, listener, who you are angry at, who you are like, have a grudge against. And just think like, how does that affect your everyday? Like if it's weighing on you every day, wouldn't it be great if it didn't?
Yes.
Like what, yeah. Like what would it, just think, what would it be like if I didn't feel this way? Wouldn't it be great not to feel this way? And the answer through that, I think, is forgiveness a lot of the time. Like, what if, because that is sort of the answer, like, what if I just didn't care about it? Like, what if what they did wasn't so bad? And it's not, and I know this is, I think, the thing a lot of people will counter with is like, that person doesn't deserve like my forgiveness, or like they haven't earned it or whatever.
Sure.
And I would counter with, forgiveness by definition is not something that is ever deserved. Like if it's deserved, then it's not forgiveness, then it's just a misunderstanding.
That's a really, really good way to put it, actually, because you're exactly right.
Yeah.
It's like the idea of forgiving somebody is like saying like, okay, I like, this is you are like, yeah, I don't even know what to say. Free of my frustration.
Right. And it's very difficult to think, because a lot of times I think it's, you have to think of it in a very like no strings attached sort of way. It's not like, okay, I'm forgiving you for this, but now you owe me. Cause like that's not forgiveness.
That is not.
That's, yeah, like that's like a bargaining chip. That's not the same. You really need to just, yeah.
But that's the weird thing too, is that like, it's, it almost feels a little bit to me to possibly compare two things. Like for the longest time, I thought, when I was experiencing anxiety, that I would have self-described it as I am nervous. Mm-hmm. And those are like two decidedly different sensations, even if they're like,
sure,
generally in the same camp, they are two different things.
Yeah.
It's almost like being able to truly and genuinely recognize almost the like complexity of forgiveness.
Yeah.
Because it's almost like you really do. It's like, you can say the words a lot easier than you can mean them.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
It does.
And so that's sort of like the big thing there. It's almost like if you were to, and my guess is that probably the actual process of saying the words out loud to the person, mm-hmm, is probably a very substantial step towards truly embodying it.
Right.
But it depends. I mean, there's a potential for putting the cart before the horse in,
right,
that capacity, where if you haven't fully forgiven the person and then you tell them that you forgave them, but you're still harboring resentment, that at that point, it's like, well, you said we were good. Like,
right. That, you know, there is that element of it too. And I think another maybe like misconception to address is that like, if you're forgiving someone, like you're lifting the burden off of them, like maybe like they've wronged you and now like you have this over them. So if you forgive them, then all of a sudden it's like, oh, well now whatever, all that did was help them. But I think a lot of times it is much like, forgiveness is as much about helping the other person as it is about helping yourself. If not, it might help you more
to know that it's going to help the person.
No, it just might help you feel better to have like forgiven the person.
I don't know if I follow the train of thought there.
Okay. Well, let me try and like it might be that like someone has like wronged you in a specific way, and like the damage they did to you is still like affects you on the daily or, yes, whatever.
Yeah.
And like they might feel really bad about it, but whatever it was bad.
Okay.
Right. So like you might think like, if I forgive them, at least they won't feel so bad about it. But like really it can help you feel better about whatever the damage itself was, I think.
Okay.
Like it can, like if it's weighing on, I don't know. I think I feel like I'm phrasing it poorly, but I think I think it's a two-way street is basically what I'm trying to say.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, I agree with that. I guess like the I mean, this is, and again, I mean, this is, I think it further reinforces the idea that there is a lot of complexity involved with this particular like social process.
For sure.
But let me see if I'm getting it correctly. Is what you are saying that like it can be helpful to you to process forgiveness to have also given it to them?
Yeah, I think it can like it can give you like closure maybe on whatever the situation is.
Okay.
You know, like now you don't even have to think about it anymore.
Sure.
Like this person harmed you. Now they're like, it's okay. We can just move on.
Right.
Now we're not like joined in this like big ball of yarn. It's just, we're just two strings again.
Okay.
You know?
Two strings. Out in the wild, wild
out
west.
Out in the wild west.
Just with cotton balls floating all around.
Exactly.
I'm the string world, wild, wild west. I can just picture it in my head. They're wearing tiny little cowboy hats.
Exactly.
Adorable.
There is like a Kirby game where Kirby is like a piece of yarn the whole time. It's like Kirby's Yarn Adventure or Woolly Adventure. There's a Yoshi game too where you're like a little stuffed Yoshi guy.
Oh, yeah. Anyway,
I don't know. Now we've just sort of really veered off topic.
We really have. Into yarn.
Into yarn.
An unexpected territory.
Yeah. Let me spin you a yarn. Ben, let me just a hard left turn here.
Okay.
Because speaking of yarn, thread makes clothing. That's going to be my segue. Ooh,
wow, look at you go.
Nailed it. Ready? We've talked. Okay. Have you ever encountered this problem where, like, I find it this is often what I call the t-shirt problem. When, like, typical, what would you call the typical cost for a t-shirt?
$20.
Okay, I agree. $20. Let's just set that as a base.
Okay.
So let's imagine you find a t-shirt and it's like, oh, if this was $20, you'd get it. No problem. Except it's like $30. Now you're like, oh, do I $30 want that t-shirt?
You're at that like real weird line.
Yeah, you're
like,
at that weird real world line.
Yeah. Well, and I've always said this too. It's like, if I were to drive up and have like a 2007 Toyota Corolla, you mm-hmm. know, like a car. Like when you think of a car,
that. A car.
So, okay. So this is the example I always give though. It's kind of like, okay, if I were to tell you that I would sell you that Toyota Corolla 2007 for $1,
right.
would you buy it?
Right. Yeah, sure.
Okay. Yeah.
And now I got a car.
Because $1.
Right.
Right. And it's like $2.
Right.
Yeah.
No problem.
It's like I might say like $325. And you might still say no problem. I might say $1,000. You might still say no problem because it's still worth it. But at one point in time, $1
is going to make the difference.
Is the threshold. It's like 1,067. Yes. 1,068. No.
Not on your life, bud.
No way. No way.
Couldn't get it out of me if you tried.
If we were playing Diablo 2, they would be like, LOL, ROFL.
Ha 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 ha. See you in another life.
I know. And then they would just like,
they quit the game and you'd be like, I don't even know why you came in here.
The title was very clearly stated.
Right. Like it says exactly what I want for what the trade is. Let me just, this was such an annoying thing. I'm just going to reel veer again.
Okay, do it.
I'm going to do it. I had an exact situation like this with the Pokemon trading card game here recently.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm in a Discord server for one of the Pokemon trading card game YouTubers I follow.
Okay.
And I was like, this would be fun. You know, cool. Like support this person.
For sure. Yeah.
Fun. And there's like a little trade sub tab. And I was like, all right, let me just take the plunge and start conversing and be like, all right, well, these are the things I want. This is what I'm offering. I mean, the LOL, you know, got exact response. Just like, haha. Yeah. Maybe. What a crazy offer you've got going there. Meanwhile, in the game, you can just post like public trades, which I, you know, maybe just random people out there will like find them and accept them into their own.
Sure.
So I was trying to make, you know, trades within the community, you know, because it's, you know, more fun.
Of course.
It's like, yeah. Okay, cool. Instead, I had also just posted them publicly. And, you know, it's funny when you like log on, you see this person like completely laughing at your idea of an offer. You log into the game. Oh, trade was accepted. Just like, well, that could have been you.
Look at
Sorry.
You. See, you missed out.
Vindicated. Validated.
Nice.
Take that, other person in the Discord server.
Right.
Whoever you are.
Probably listening right now.
Probably listening. They're That's like, right.
Oh, no.
Anyway, so yeah, the $30 t-shirt problem or whatever of like, it's always such a like, I just cannot justify it. But I have found the exception to the rule, Ben.
Okay.
And it's helmets. Helmets, you would think. Because like a helmet, like for like biking,
yeah.
I was just buying a full face helmet because we're going on a downhill mountain bike trip here in the near future with the GMA.
We are
going to be fun. And I was like looking at two helmets and there was like one that was like a little bit more expensive, like by about $50 or so. And I narrowed it down to two, and one was about $50 more. And they're already kind of pricey because it's like helmets.
There's like a, well, it maybe not so surprising amount of research and technology that has gone into keeping your head safe.
Yes, exactly. So this is unlikely though. You might be like, well, can I justify spending more on a helmet? But the answer is, of course you can. Of course you can justify spending more on a helmet.
Right.
Because what is the point of a helmet? Life or death. This
safety.
Safety. Of course you can spend more on a helmet.
I love this argument.
Yeah, right.
So really what the t-shirt manufacturers need to do is like have built-in elbow pads.
Well, now is that...
I'm thinking it's good.
You thinking it's good?
Elbow padded t-shirts are in.
Elbow pad. That's it. There you go.
It's like,
you know what? I'm in.
For potentially if you fall.
Yeah, for if you fall, now your elbow's safe.
You're safe.
Just think about it.
Yeah. It's like, why am I paying a premium? Because safety.
Yeah.
That's why you're paying a premium.
Exactly.
Yeah, I like it. I like it.
There you go. You can always justify safety, Ben.
You can always... Always.
Oh, right? No one's like, should you? We could be more risky, but it could be. We could do the same thing, but safer? And everyone's like, no. Some people probably are like that.
Yeah, there's that.
There is that. Yeah. But in any case, I thought this was the night, because I felt that exact sensation of like, and then I thought about it and I was like, actually, this is fine.
I love it. Yeah. I love it. It's always exciting to me, like, to be near you when you get into things like this. Uh-huh. Like, there is a project that you have proposed to me for your house. Can we talk about it?
Oh, I mean, yeah, absolutely. We can talk about it. We've talked about it on the pop.
We have talked about
not,
it.
Well, not like the project for the house, but we've talked about the subject matter on the pop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So Jay wants to put a slide on his back deck.
Yeah, slide. Now, I know it's not that crazy, right? You want to put a slide on your... Slides aren't such a big deal in like your backyard playground or whatever.
Yeah, but this is like coming off of like a 12-foot deck.
Yeah, I want it to come off the deck.
And it's like a tube slide.
I want a tube slide off the deck to the yard.
To the yard. And it's like, whoa.
Yeah.
Tube slide.
Right.
Like, I mean, this is like one of those things where I come up with ridiculous ideas constantly. And, but like whenever Jay throws one at me, it's like, yes. Yes, 1,000 times yes. When do we start?
When do we do?
I'm gonna go get my shovel. I don't even know if we need one. Do we need a shovel? But I'm gonna get it anyway.
We probably do. I imagine the bottom needs to have like some sort of foundation it's attached to.
Possibly a footer.
Right? Yeah, like a footer.
Are we gonna pour some concrete?
We might need to pour concrete, Ben.
Because I know like a small amount about that.
You know way more than me.
Excellent.
In that case, I know that probably you mix some in a bucket and then you pour it in the ground. And then you wait.
That is one option.
Okay.
That is one option.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
I'm going to go get some concrete.
All right.
I'll be over tonight.
I imagine this would be... Do you think having a slide on attached to your deck increases the resale value of your house? Or are people like, what's that? And then be like, that's the slide.
It is a slide.
Here's what I'm imagining is that it's like 95% for Luke and Nick and Nate to have the coolest slide.
Of course.
That when their friends come over, they're like, whoa, what a cool slide. But then like 5% for when my friends come over, be like, I'd be like, absolutely. Absolutely.
It's a real thrill.
You know what? It's big enough for adults.
It builds bravery.
That's right.
Which makes you a better person. Exactly. So in fact, I insist.
Yeah. Take a ticket though.
Okay. So here would be my query, would be, is there any opportunity for this slide to be the, like, to mark the brand of your house?
To mark the brand?
It's like, I have a house that has a slide.
I have a house that has a slide.
And so it's like then it's almost like you've like entered into the territory of everything else that you could possibly do that would be like just pure whimsy.
Yeah.
Also counts. It's like perfectly acceptable to also have.
Yeah. Cause now once you have the slide.
We're good. Right. Yeah, exactly. And I think it's a gateway slide. I think we've slide. Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, it's like, so once you've installed the slide, all of a sudden it's like, you know what? We could also put that rock wall up.
Yeah.
You know, and then it's like, then you're talking about like resale value. It's like people who are like looking at it, you know, on Zillow or whatever, and they're like scrolling through, they're like, this house has a slide.
Has a slide?
And a rock wall?
Yeah.
And so it's like, now look, anything in that theme is perfectly acceptable.
Do you know why I know this would be an increased resale value, I think? It's because we went glamping once upon a time in a yurt.
We most certainly did.
And what really got me excited about the yurt was that inside the yurt was a slide.
It was a slide.
Yeah.
It was like a spirally slide.
It was like a spirally slide.
And it was really cool. And we went down it like... 100 times.
Like so many times. You're like, oh my God, slide in the house, slide in the house. So
it,
fun.
It was legitimately 7 adults staying in this thing. And we were like just spinning.
It was fun.
Running laps.
Good times. Also, the AC, the heat did not work.
The heat did not work.
Which you might not think that yurts are supposed to have heat. And I would agree with you that if on the website it was like, there's no, just FYI, there's no heat, it would have been like, okay, well, we signed up for this.
Right.
But there's supposed to be heat.
There was supposed
and
to be
there, heat. And there wasn't. Ironically, because the heater was frozen.
That was ironic.
That was. It was like, it seems like this is the exact thing that should not even be able to happen to this thing.
Yeah, well, I think it's the way that AC cooling actually works.
Yeah.
You produce heat to make cold or mm-hmm. cold to make heat. It's really upside down and weird.
Well, let me tell you, it was cold.
It was cold. We were like in our puffy jackets basically the entire time. The slide did work up a good sweat
because it
gave us an activity.
It was, yeah.
It
was like, it was weirdly hard to go up the slide, if I remember.
We did try to crawl up the slide.
This is the, I think, what is the fascination with going up slides?
It's because it's like you get to interact. I mean, like when you're coming down, it like you're zipping right past.
Yeah.
But then like if you go up it, you got all the time in the world to examine it and see like the bolts and stuff.
Yeah.
You know, what could be better?
All sorts of stuff.
Anyway, Jay, how about we close out with a corny joke?
I love how it's just sort of naturally moved to the end of the pop here.
I know. It's like it's a really good way to just like segue our way right out the door.
Right out the door.
It'd be like, you know, like, it's like when you know that corny joke is coming, it's like, okay, okay. Like
there's a light at the end of the tunnel.
The ep is almost over.
Yeah.
Someone also sent me an email because what I'm about to describe is what is called a one-liner.
Oh, okay.
Because I was attempting to describe this in the past and I was like, it is a sentence that is funny. One-liner, technical term.
There you go, one-liner. Ba-boom, ba-boom, ba-boom.
I'm an expert. I'm growing. Okay, so this particular corny joke came from Rachel Ward, who I'm going to ward.
Oh!
So we're there, a pun. A blue ribbon for today's corny joke/one-liner because I thought that it was... I was like, I've never heard this before, and I think it's so funny.
All right, fire away. Okay,
and it fits with our theme a little bit here.
Oh, boy.
Okay.
Toilets?
Right. Not toilets.
Okay.
Rachel says, every time I take my dog to the park, I have this problem with the ducks trying to eat him. I guess that's what I get for buying a purebred dog.
Purebred.
Are you imagining a dog?
The dog right out of bread. I get it.
I love it so very much. It was really good.
That's funny.
Because all I can really picture is just like sliced white bread that someone has like squeezed into like kind of like Play-Doh style figures.
Right.
And they've like made a dog.
Yeah.
Like kind of a la Marcel the Shell.
But yeah.
His name is Alan.
This is me.
Anyway, so that's going to close us out for today's episode of The Pop. As always, if you have any feedback you want to send our way, I promise I do read your emails over at popcornculturepod@gmail.com. We are also over on Reddit, where there's just good quality discussion happening all the time. If you'd like to show support to the podcast, you can do so by going to patreon.com/popcornculture, where we have a variety of really cool and fun tiers that help us decide who is the one true host week in, week out.
Jazzy J.
Otherwise, until next week.
Pop, pop!